Psalm 15, beginning in verse 1. David says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury or loans with interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, this evening that we might not ever be moved. Lord, once we have received the Lord Jesus for our own, Lord, we have been granted passage, Lord. We've been invited, we've been accepted, we've been greeted, Father, into your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, for this assurance. Make this real to us again tonight, Father, this basic and fundamental and yet eternal truth that we thank you for. We ask for your blessing on the word to us tonight. Be honored and glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't make it my practice to do a lot of clubbing, you know. Going out to nightclubs, that is. Going out to dance clubs, that is. Going out after hours. As a matter of fact, I tell all of my kids, and I tell every other person's kids that I can. You know, it doesn't have to be even kids. Not a lot good happens after midnight. I've made it quite clear to my offspring that if they're doing anything recreationally after midnight outside of my house, then they probably should be doing something different. It's been my experience in the old job. It's been my experience in my youth that if I was out or anyone else is out, again, recreationally, and there are exceptions to every rule, but if you're out doing something outside of your house and it's for recreation, it's probably not great. And you listen to, these accounts from these, athletes, pro athletes, you know, you give them a substantial sum of money and you give them a substantial amount of freedom. And what tends to happen? You might have heard reports recently of athletes failing, and you find that there's a common denominator. They're out after midnight. I mean, I know it sounds kind of cheesy and old fashioned perhaps, but not a whole lot good happens recreationally after midnight. That being said, I didn't even have that in my notes. But what I do know, even though I haven't done a lot of clubbing, club hopping, and that sort of thing, is that unless you're somebody, if it's one of these popular places that these famous people tend to frequent, that these athletes go to, there tends to be a line on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And if you don't know somebody, likely you're not going to get in. If you don't have someone with you, or if you don't know the person who's at the door, well, you're going to have trouble getting in if you arrive there late, and you don't have the right accompaniment with you. If you are of some stature, however, if you're somebody, if you're one of these famous athletes, or if you're someone who can bring credibility or notoriety to that establishment, you tend to walk in. You tend to get in because they allow you to come in. Skip that line. You have the qualifications, I guess you could say. David here in this passage, he's asking about the qualifications. Now, he's doing it rhetorically, and he answers his own question there at the beginning in verse 1. He says, well, he's looking for the qualifications to this rather premier establishment. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who can live there? Who can dwell there? Who's granted entry into this? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Well, what is the holy hill and what is this tabernacle? Well, it can stand for a lot of different things, certainly. I mean, you speak in Scripture of Zion on God's holy hill and it being God's city and God's place. And there are a lot of different references to it, but for our context here and for our considerations, it's not a difficult consideration. Psalm 3 and verse 4, also David's psalm, he says, "I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." Now again, we see in Scripture, we see that Jesus, or the Lord's presence, is found in the tabernacle at times. The Lord's presence came down upon that tabernacle in the form of a cloud, sometimes even visible. But that's not what David's speaking of here. In Psalm 61 and verse 3, also another psalm of David's. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. He's not going to stay in the temple, in the tabernacle, any other place, temporary forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. If that's not clear enough, we can look in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this tabernacle is destroyed, when this mortality has put on immortality, when this corruption has put on incorruption, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We'll have a glorified body. But the Lord went and prepared a place for us, that if he should go, he would come back and receive us unto himself, so that wherever he is, there we can be also, if you are a believer. Where does the Lord God answer us from today? Not some building, not some tabernacle, not some tent, not some hill over in the Middle East. He answers from heaven, of course. And that's what David is referring to when he asks here, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? It's speaking of God's kingdom, speaking of heaven, speaking of his home. It's speaking of where he is and where he occupies now. I hate to compare it to a club. I hate to compare it to any kind of natural, secular place. But there are certain requirements to get in. And that's what David is, well, I guess you could say he's meditating on it as he wrote this psalm. Drafted this up as the Spirit put it on his heart. What are the qualifications for entry into this house? Saints, this is Grace 101. You know, I don't think there's a person here that couldn't answer this. And I mean any person that's, well, not older than Emerson. I think everyone here, if you ask them, how do you get there? They could tell you. It's basic. It's fundamental. It's basic and fundamental, isn't it? And I like basic and fundamental things sometimes, but let's look at it anyway. What does it say? Well, he completes this psalm here by giving the answers to the question. He says, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, doesn't take a reproach against his friend, swears to his own hurt, does not change, all of these things, doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. We could do a nice long study on each one of these things. And we could do a nice long study on how, well, each one of us fails in each one of these things, right? I mean, honestly, I can say I don't believe I've ever charged interest for a loan. As I look here, does not put out his money at usury. I'm thinking to myself, and I kind of pondered on it while I was getting this together, I don't think I've ever given a loan that I charged interest on it. But after that, well, let's see, I've despised a vile person before, so I guess I get that one right. But I've despised, well, people who aren't vile, haven't I? And let's see, I've done evil to my neighbor before, and I have backbitten with my tongue, and yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't given out a loan with charging interest. None of us satisfy all of these things. You know this. The flesh doesn't satisfy these qualifications. The flesh doesn't meet these things. We could stop right here at work righteousness, where it says there, well, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Do any of us do this? Did David do this when he was writing this himself? Do you think he didn't recognize his own frailties and his own flaws? I mean, we could point out what happened with Uriah the Hittite, right? And recognize that, well, David didn't satisfy not doing evil to his neighbor. He didn't work righteousness and walk uprightly in that situation, certainly. Working righteousness means to do righteousness, to make righteousness, even to create righteousness, to do righteousness. And that's, David knew that we don't do this of ourselves. Step back one psalm to Psalm 14, and read verses 2 and 3 there with me. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. Again, these are David's words. To see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside, David says. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Elsewhere, Psalm 24, another psalm of David's, in verse 3. He asks and answers again. just a little bit differently. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? 24, verse 3. Or who may stand in his holy place? And then he answers, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Again, I can't say that I've met all of these requirements. This one shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Saints, you know we don't meet these qualifications in our flesh. And I think that you know we can't meet these qualifications in our flesh. Again, it's Grace 101. And I like Grace 101. We know somebody, right? Was at a Rockies game before we left Colorado. Right before we left Colorado, it was kind of a last hurrah with my crew that I worked with back there. And we went to the Colorado Rockies game. I don't remember who they played. Doesn't really matter. But we had nosebleed seats. Me and five other guys and I had these nosebleed seats way up in the top of the stadium there. And we were there for a while. And I was with a buddy of ours. His name was Ray. Scott knows Ray, and he'll vouch for you. Ray's a knucklehead. You know, he was a goofy kind of guy. And Ray disappeared, and no one knew where Ray went. He was just gone. And after he was gone for about half an hour, he came back. He's like, come on, fellas. And we're like, what do you mean? He's like, come on, grab your stuff, and let's go. And so he's like, don't ask questions. And so we followed Ray. Anyway, we walked down and kept going down. And we're like, where are we going? So then we walked up, and she was a sweet little old lady in an usher's, you know, ticket collector kind of official uniform. And Ray walks up, and he just goes, does one of those cheesy sorts of things. She's like, and she let us down in the lower bowl of the stadium. And we kept walking and kept walking and kept walking. And we were right down at the very front row, right by the dugout. You know, I'm like, what in the world? And Ray's like, yeah. You know, he pulled it off. He pulled it off for us, man. I don't know what he did for this little old lady. I don't know if he just went up, you know, and talked sweet to her or whatever. But whatever virtue Ray had, she let him in. And even though I did nothing to obtain it, I was with Ray. And so we walked in and we sat down there and we enjoyed the rest of the game as close as I've ever been at a major league game. Whatever virtue he had, she let him in, and just by association, I was brought in. Now, if you looked at my ticket, oldest cliche of grace that, you know, that we oftentimes bring up, you looked at my ticket and it said, section nosebleed in row nosebleed, way, way up there. She never looked at my ticket, never checked it or anything. She says, you're with this knucklehead, proceed. Now, again, I hate making these correlations sometimes because comparing Jesus to Ray is rather ignorant. And comparing heaven to a baseball game is just as much. But there it is. I mean, he hadn't done anything, but he went in because he knew the lady, well, the authority was there. I didn't do anything, saints, to earn my way into heaven. But simply because I'm with the Lord, or let me say it this way, simply because he's with me, I'm welcomed in. And the Lord doesn't check my ticket. He checks Jesus's ticket. The Lord says, I know who you're with. You know somebody. And, well, it's more than just that. Let's read Psalm 15 one more time. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Who does this describe? And speaks truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. And that is a godly thing. If there's despising, well, that one who has rejected and rebelled, the Lord is capable of doing that. But he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Moses had his own song in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 3. And he says this, or sings this, I guess you could even say, regarding the Lord. I proclaim the name of the Lord, says Moses. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice, a God of truth without injustice. Righteous and upright is he, In other words, he walks uprightly, he works righteousness, he speaks truth in his heart, just as David says are the qualifications for going up that holy hill. He's our God. He's our Savior, that same one that Moses was talking about here. He is the one who cleans hearts and renews hearts, creates in us a clean heart, as the psalm records there. He's the only one who doesn't change. He gives every good and perfect gift, and all those things are given by and through Christ. The Lord is the only one who meets these qualifications, and he meets them for us, and he meets them within us. It's the old man and the new man, both present. The old creation and the new creation, the flesh, still present. You're looking at it. And the new man that's within, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He walks with us, accompanies us, invites us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way by which we get to that holy hill and dwell in that tabernacle. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, it says in Revelation 1, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory, he's the somebody who brings us up the holy hill to abide and to dwell and to live for all eternity with him. It's a basic and a fundamental and an unimaginable truth for every child of God. Be grateful for it, saints. Be grateful for that provision that the Lord makes and that David presents to us in this psalm.